Let's pray, friends. Heavenly Father, as we come to your amazing word through Moses in Deuteronomy, I pray that we'll be blessed this morning, that we'll be strengthened through hard times to be the people that you're making us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, if you want to run a marathon, I'm going to give you some marathon running advice this morning. I actually have never run a marathon, so my first advice is don't run it. Run away from marathon running. But here's my second advice, and I think you could talk to Darren about this after the service, because he's run lots of them, and there are others here, Sal and others who have run marathons. You need a training plan to run a marathon. You don't just sort of register and turn up and, you know, hope for the best. When you run a marathon, you actually need some time of preparation. I had a friend who did register for the male marathon, did no preparation, hurt himself in body and mind, and it was not pretty. It was bad pain for my friend. He thought it'd just be a laugh. Well, he learned his lesson. Even if you're already a good runner, if you want to run 42 kilometres, you can get these websites that make you a running plan. And on week one, day one, you run 4K. The next day you run 5K, then 6K, then you have a rest. Then it might go back down to 5. And, you know, it just sort of, these things are trained to inflict pain on you little by little at the amount your body can handle, so that when you get to the race, your body will actually thrive under the pain on your joints of running 42 kilometres. So these are very well worked out. The marathon runner decides that to win a marathon is a great blessing, right? I don't know why they would say that, but they think it is. And so therefore they decide that the pain of a training plan makes it worth the victory and blessing of getting that medal or that photo or that sense of accomplishment of the marathon. So through little doses of affliction, ever increasing pain, you actually can train your body to have the capacity to handle 42 kilometres. In fact, there's a similar thing. If you just want to start running, there's couch to 5K, which is meant to get you off your couch. And I think it just starts by saying, you know, you walk a kilometre. But by the end of like 4 weeks, you're running 5 kilometres. That's pretty good as well. Same principle. You need a training plan of ever-increasing pain, and it increases your capacity, your body's capacity to sort of tolerate and handle that, and then you can become an accomplished runner. Well, Israel have been on a marathon, or they've been training for a marathon, actually. They're not on a marathon yet. 40 years in the desert, they've been in God's preparation program. God says, in order for you to receive all that I have blessed and promised you, you must be trained. The goal of the training is that Israel would be God's treasured possession, his redeemed nation. They would be recipients of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if Israel is to grow into this great, lofty end, they need training. And it's going to be painful. It has been painful in the desert. Another example we could use is if you've ever had a knee reconstruction or been in a serious car accident and you've had to get some kind of rehabilitative therapy. And, you go through the surgery or whatever, you are assigned a physiotherapist who you love to hate. The physiotherapist tells you this week you have to bend your knee 2 centimetres. And it hurts. And you think, like, I got through it. But then the next week, they've written you a training plan. The physio says what? Bend your knee 3 centimetres. And it hurts even more. And the next week, it's 4 centimetres and 5. And do you see what's going on? The physiotherapist doesn't enjoy hurting you. The physiotherapist wants you to be a fully functioning, healthy person. They want you to get your full knee flexion back. They want you to be a healthy adult. You know, the rehab is painful, but the end result is full health, full, independent functioning. God has forgiven Israel. He's redeemed them out of slavery in Egypt. But they are not everything he wants them to be. They are now in God's rehab program. Do you see? And this is part of the giving of the Ten Commandments and the laws of Deuteronomy, that they are being rehabilitated to learn to love God with all their heart, soul, strength and mind, to learn to love their neighbour as themselves. And so the 40 years in the desert, Moses says, have been God's rehab. Well, one other example is my own passion, my own hobby, is I like to lift weights and I like strength training. And the idea of strength training or powerlifting is that you do a back squat. You put a barbell on your back with weights on it and you basically go down and up. It doesn't take much intelligence. You go down and if you're able, you come up. It sounds like a really dumb hobby, doesn't it, when I say it like that? I enjoy it. I don't know why. Maybe because it's so easy. But mentally easy, I mean. It's physically, it's scary. It's painful, actually. And the point of strength training is you have to keep a kind of a diary, because if you put too much weight on, you go down, you don't come up, and you injure yourself. If you put too little weight on, you don't get any stronger. And in fact, I've learned at my age, I just get weaker if I do nothing. Israel are redeemed but weak. God wants them to be redeemed and strong, spiritually strong. And so they've been in God's training program. You have to ever increase the weights week by week by week. Not too much, but not too little. The right amount of pain, the right amount of affliction will make you strong, will rehabilitate you, will make you a good runner. Now, I'm actually, I've made a mistake with the slides this week, so I apologize for that. But our reading's actually Deuteronomy 8. But I always think when we have the wrong reading, God wanted someone to hear that today. So, you know, think about what was read as well. But I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 8, page 131. And Moses says, describes the training program of God. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember your training, how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. It's been a hard 40 years. Moses acknowledges that. It's been a time of suffering, a time of humbling, a time of affliction. It's been a time of not having heaps of food, and God has had to feed them through special means, such as bread falling from the sky and quail appearing out of nowhere, little birds. Even once they were thirsty and God made a rock produce water, a dry rock. It's been a hard time, and it's been a time they've had to learn to rely on God, to rely on his promises, and to trust him in the desert. And so God says through Moses, remember your training. God has been very intentionally leading you all the way through the desert. And way here can mean, in English, in Hebrew the same as English, way can mean remember the route you took, remember your Google Maps journey, and also remember the manner of your journey. You know, remember where God has led you, and remember how God has led you. He's provided for you. He's been faithful to you, even though, granted, you've suffered. You've suffered a lot in the desert. Moses says there was a purpose. It was to humble you, to test you, in order to know what was in your heart. The training program for the marathon runner allows the runner to know they've got the capacity for 42 kilometres. It trains them and tests them. You know you're fully rehabilitated if you can bend your knee without pain all the way. Maybe do an air squat or something like that. And so the trials of the desert, the suffering and pain, have been God's way of growing them and also helping them to see that they've grown. Has anyone ever asked you, is God punishing me? I lost my job. Is God punishing me? I'm very sick. Is God punishing me? My relationships are broken down. Is God punishing me? The answer is, to a Christian, God is not punishing you. He's training you. Do you see? He's not punishing you. He's training you through your affliction. The challenge for Israel is the same challenge for us. Will we draw closer to God in our afflictions and learn from them and grow in them? Will we embrace the training or kind of pull away from it? I suspect you'll get more from the training if you embrace God's good purpose. Moses goes on to talk about how he fed them. And he kind of acknowledges that God fed them in a kind of a, wasn't the nicest way to get fed. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's a great verse. I heard that in the New Testament. Jesus quotes that in the wilderness. Moses acknowledges that God kept Israel on a very short leash through suffering. He made them hungry, and then he fed them just the right amount. The manna from heaven was not some great enjoyable miracle to kind of be, that was romantic. It was actually quite difficult because the manna expired quickly and you couldn't stockpile it, so you never had security. You never knew when your next meal was coming from. You just had to sort of pray. God was training Israel to depend on them. And in particular, he was training them about his word. He said that you would learn to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. One of the great lessons for Israel, and I think for us, we can learn it as well, is that we need God's word as much as we need bread in our stomachs. That's the lesson. We need the promises of God and the sustaining word of God in life as much as we need food and drink. I mean, I don't need any help to eat. I love watching sort of TV shows about food. I don't need any help to kind of fill my tummy. The hunger's there and I feel it. But you know what? I don't actually feel the same hunger for God's word. In fact, rather the opposite. I would rarely just sort of naturally say, I really need God's word today. However, what I have noticed, and you may have noticed this as well, is that when you're suffering and when you're going through some kind of internal difficulty or some kind of external difficulty, then I turn to the word of God and I am blessed. It's in those times that God sustains me through his word. Suffering has this unique power to drive us for consolation from God. And if we're wise, we'll get that consolation from the Bible. I hope you've found that. In affliction, whether it be a physical sickness or a relational conflict that's really weighing on you, or an external environmental negativity thing like a relationship breakdown or a work problem, whatever it is, internal, external, the word of God can help. The word of God can help. 150 Psalms. Every psalm is different. You can always find a psalm for your exact situation. Always. And you can always find a promise in the Bible that will bring you strength. Always. It may be that in trials, there's a command of God, and the law of God, the Ten Commandments, are part of God's training here. There may be a law of God that you've neglected that you need to remedy that neglect, and that will help you with the suffering. You'll always find a perspective in the Word of God, because the perspective of the Bible is eternity. And so the heavy things on your heart today will always be put in their place when you open God's Word and consider eternal life. This is the lesson they were meant to learn, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is the lesson that Jesus learnt in the desert. If Jesus had to learn it, then we're not too good for this, are we? If our Saviour had to learn this, and he draws on Deuteronomy when tempted by the devil, how much more would we frail sinners need to drink deeper from the Word of God in trial? And even chapter 8, you could go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 through any trial and be greatly encouraged. And I've really spent my week meditating on this chapter, and there are two verses that really stick out as particularly enriching, encouraging to me today. They are verse 5 and also verse 16. Let me share them with you. How good is this? Let me start at verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. That is, you know, you made it. You're still alive. Know then, here's the best bit. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. As a member of the people of God, your pains are not punishments. There's no air of punishment, but they are God's fatherly discipline. So here's the fatherhood of God in the Old Testament. Both the Exodus out of Egypt was a great fatherly act, out of slavery, carried on eagle's wings under in God's bosom. And now the 40 years of pain in the desert have been God's fatherly love, because they're his training plan. So that, I think that's a great encouragement. And there's a similar one in verse 16, where God describes the purpose of the training. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. That's the heart of God for you, that in the end it will go well with you. It will be for your good. It is a training plan. You know, the marathon runner trusts the plan. You know, the wise patient trusts the physio and follows the physio plan. Do you know what I mean? You have to believe that God is working all things for your good, because you are in Christ Jesus. You are those who love him. So I think there are two great promises. Verse 5, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. And verse 16, he did this to humble and to test you, that in the end it might go well with you. Because Christ has died, the punishment is taken away. There's no air of punishment over our lives, only training, only fatherly love. So friends, this is Deuteronomy. They cannot receive God's blessings of the promised land without the training. You cannot be all God wants you to be without training. Back cannot be the church he wants back to be unless we have training. You know, we all need transformation, and that transformation requires training, and training means pain. Training means God's fatherly, loving pain. The word for God humbled you, which appears in verse 5 and verse 16, is the same word for afflicted. God humbled, afflicted you. And later in the Bible, in the Psalms, that same word appears. For example, Moses writes in Psalm 90, which is kind of his reflection on life, God, make us glad for as many days as you have humbled us or afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. He acknowledges God's training and humbling. Or Psalm 119 says, "It is good for me that I was humbled, that I might learn your statutes, O God. It is good for me that I was afflicted." Or another example from Psalm 119, "I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have humbled me." Or you could translate, "In faithfulness you have afflicted me." Or we might say, with our sporting cap on, "In faithfulness you have trained me through pain." Well, is it worth it? It is worth it. Have a listen to this picture of the promised land in verse 6. "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron," so there's like free metal, "and you can dig copper out of the hills." I mean, in terms of ancient pre-technology society, you couldn't get a more perfect land than that. And this land of the Old Testament, in the New Covenant, the equivalent is what? Heaven. The equivalent for us, our promised land, are the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation that Christ will bring, and that will be a land flowing with milk and honey. That will be a land, you know, with no pain. That will be a land where there's no more training, no more affliction. We will be fully transformed, and the creation itself will just overflow in abundance. Everything you would ever need will be ours forever when Christ returns. Until that day, training, pain. But on that day, we will have peace forever and provision forever with Christ. One of the images in the Old Testament for the Promised Land is, it's a land of rest. It's a land of peace. And when Christ returns and we're in heaven, we'll have that final eternal rest, that eternal Sabbath, that eternal peace, that eternal, you know, that weight will be off our shoulders. We'll be fully trained, fully sanctified by the Holy Spirit, fully like Christ in our resurrection bodies forever and ever. Will it be worth it? Of course. Of course it will be. But until then, training. Until then, training. And there's one other little training moment given in chapter 8, which for them comes in the promised land. And that is simply, we looked at this 2 weeks ago, when God gives you times of blessing and you have good stuff and it's comfortable, don't forget him. Don't forget him. So for example, verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. God doesn't ask a lot. He wants to be honored for all that he gives. He wants to be rightly praised. I don't think that's too much to ask. Moses says, verse 11, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Moses is worried now. He said, you've had this time of really heavy training, but he's worried that you're going to get into the land and you're going to forget God and start worshipping idols. You're going to become self-absorbed. You may have become like in verse 17 and say, oh, my power, my strength has produced all this wealth for me. We can imagine how God feels about that. At that point, I think we need more training. And the warning of Moses is, embrace God's training, because God's pain prevents you from being self-absorbed, from being about me, 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 and my power, and my might, and it stops you from being thankless when you're humbled by God, afflicted by God. But the only other alternative is if you forget God, then ultimately you'll be treated as the other nations, as the other nations who worship idols. Look at verse 19 and 20. It's a final warning. We'll finish on this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you'll be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Don't forget God and derail the whole training. Well, friends, God has your good at heart. He is your loving Father. In the end, he promises it will go well for you in Christ. Will you pray that God would train us? Will you pray that God would help you be less self-absorbed and more running to the Word of God for consolation? Will you pray that God would even humble you? Will you pray that God might even, for your good, afflict you in any area of your life where you might need it? God has prepared for you an eternal blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a creation greater than the land flowing with milk and honey. It will be worth it. Let us be trained by God. Let's pray. Father, we submit ourselves to you this day as forgiven believers in Christ. We submit our lives to your transformation. We submit ourselves to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which may include affliction and trial and pain. Father, we trust you in the burdens we carry, internal and external. We trust that they will be the right amount for this day, for this week, for this year. We trust you that you will get us through the training program by your grace and by the power of your Spirit, that we will be more Christ-like because of it. And Father, I pray that as a church, we will trust you in the pains that you give us as a church, that together we'll be sanctified to be all that you have prepared us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.